clearly not told it is visible, but I'm afraid that David is swimming. Nine dogs, it was clear. In other dogs, there was still battle. So who knows how to
do much with high tech? I do not.
Who knows? Thank you. I would like to thank especially Anna Belakova for organizing the conference. I hope it's not the first one. And I will try to compare associativity with distributivity for in homologous talk. But of course, motivation still is topological. But probably this long way of coming back with this distributive homologous back to topology. Of course, it's not totally new disciplines, this distributivity was already visible in not totally two homology of quantums and lux, but I think it is not yet the last word. So first trivial things I'm comparing, I have set with binary operation, and I'm comparing associativity with distributivity, so I have L star B. Star C is equal either just distributivity, or just associativity, or maybe distributivity. So distributivity is well started, and I would like kind of to ask some questions about what from associativity can be translated to distributivity. In particular, there's a question whether we can build category theory based on distributivity. Or maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe it is just better to try to translate this to associative structures. So just to remind you what we try to follow, first example, the trivial example, kind of standard one, we have abstract simplicial complex, let's say, phases denoted by P, let's say like this, and then here we have at least one approach, Cn is equal to z, v to power n plus 1, ordered sequences, and sequences, and bounded operation, bounded standard boundary operation on the simplex, this not really, I don't like.
Would be good.
No, but I like the reason.
Best technique.
Of course, it is not simplex, but simplicial complex, so we have only some simplexes here. And now boundary, of course, is Vn is equal to sum I equals 0. Vn equals 2i v0 I is the limit Vn. But maybe on this, even on this level, let just remind some terminology. So instead of writing big sum, in this typical example, we write it is the sum of the phase maps and this piece is the I from zero. So just to have terminology, because as I said, when I go to associativity, I would like to see, to distributivity, I would like to see what is, what the associativity still hold. So here, when we have something like this, when we have these phase maps, we check easily that this phase map satisfies di, dj equal dj minus 1 di, for I less equal less than j. And whenever we have modules or groups which satisfy this equation, we say that we have presimplicial module. Then just to have terminology from associative case, from standard case, whenever we have our modules, we have our bundle operation, and we can have degenerate maps. So maybe I would like degenerate in this case, it's just doubling vertex as I. Vn. So when we have this example, it's very easy to apply axioms. Still, I will just make my students to tell me axioms, but what they satisfy, so one axiom you already know, but I would like to keep it here. So this di dj is equal to dj minus 1 di. Then between s is similar. S I S J is equal to S first going up di for I less equal J. S is the degeneracy. Well, I don't. Oh, here, yeah. Then the third axiom, which again I never remember, but it's very easy to see in this example. It is the mixed axiom. So, di s j is equal to di s j minus 1 for I less than j. And instead of checking, I will ask what happens if I is greater than j plus 1. And as a student, this would be S J D
D I minus 1
D
I minus,
sorry?
I minus 1
I minus 1. Of course you can easily check on the example. And then finally the two other cases. This is the case which in distributive case not hold, so not only partially. It is when they are equal or one is bigger another, so it's D I S I is equal to D I plus 1 as I is equal to identity. Of course, in this specific example, this is obvious, because what we are doing, well, doubling one term and then deleting this. So this always we have identity. So I will keep these axioms, but I should say that model with these axioms with two series of maps, so maybe I should write this convention is always n plus 1 such maps, is called simplicial module. So let me give three examples of simplicial modules for algebraic structure. Really, I'd like for algebraic structure, at least first two, and then will be general thing, which I don't know how to generalize. Okay, so first is coming from homology of groups. So example one. Group homology of same group. It's called this group homology, so this is the historical starting from Hopf, the first such example. So, group homology of the same group. Okay, so if I assume only the semi group, it will be only pleasant Pleissel model. But I wrote the pleasant Pleissel model is if on first axiom, if there is no degenerates. So, how we do this is very similar to general setting algebraically. So we take Cn is equal to z, let's say g to the power n. We need this shift here. Then, di, because it's present in shell model, so we can just write this small di. D0 is just the leading first term, dn is the leading last term, and everything in between, we use our operation. When operation is done, we use our operation to glue terms. And it works. So d0 of x0, x, x0, x1, xn is equal to x1, xn, vn of x0, xn. We take the last one. Xn minus 1. And everything in between, we glue terms. N x0 xn is equal x0 xi plus 1 xn. So we glue I with I plus 1. Sorry? Di and not the n is between 0 and n. So it's very easy to check that this is really present Pleissel model, in particular that if you take combination like this, it will be chain complex. But what is interesting here, when we try to check whether it is present Pleissel model, it will be present Pleissel model if and only if our structure is associative. So I'm trying to add the general structure, there's only associative structure, no group, nothing like this. On the other hand,
is there
a
classifying space type approach to this kind of homology?
Yeah, we are discussing this, as long as there's no group but only semi-group. Yeah, some step of, I think, Misha Hovanov will discuss this. There's some, you can do something that loops do not go back. So something which would prevent you going back. So there's some paper, I think it was Adam Sikora who sent us reference to paper when you can even do for semi-group classifying space. But I don't know. So, when we have degeneracy, in this case, to have degeneracy, we need identity. So we need monoid. But let's just imagine G monoid. So we have two-sided identity. Then we have degeneracy, and everything works well. All axioms hold. Very easy to check. Namely, we put 1 on the I place. On zero place as it. So Si x0 xn is equal x0 1. So what we got is this I plus 1 xn. And it's very easy to check that the point is axiom point. In particular, which is probably important, the last one is easy and holds. Another typical example is, maybe let me erase this, it will be small modification, but it will put here is Hoshi homology. This is almost like group homology, Hoshi homology for semi-group. It may be now more general, it may be for linear, but then we're going to do semi-group. The first part of my talk is gathering examples from associative case to see what we can do with distributive one. Okay. Not well, so then I can say not everything is okay, but it's coming okay. Yeah. So the story is that it was Eilenberg who already understood well loop homology fall in his work in 1940s. So just a Hoshi defined something which works for any leap, not only loop leap. And maybe one should give tribute to Hoshi. I think he died last summer and there was no information almost about Hoshi. Anyway. Here Cn, there is no shift, so it would be Z, whatever we define our, let's say, the same group, Gn plus 1. Bundle operation would be almost like here. Here we have this easy learned Gn kind of, like in physics, we have two possibilities. Either our function has boundary condition, or it is cyclic. So in Hoshi homology, it's cyclic. In group homology, it's kind of boundary condition. So, this is our chain, so more or less like before, except shift. And boundary operation, Vi, phase operation, Vi of x0. Xn will be like before, maybe I should not write this as long as 0. So I give this to this, 0 is okay. And the last one will be to the first one. So for this case, it will be just as before, like 0, xi minus 1, xi star, xi plus 1, xn, then d0 of x0, xn will be equal to the last one with the first. Xn star x0 x1 xn. And again it works very well. It's because of homogeneity it can be generalized from to every leap. What about degeneracy? So this pleasantly shall not. What about degeneracy is exactly like here. Except we cannot put 1 on the first place. Now that's good, because we need only n max. So Si like group homology. And finally, the last example which kind of allies with connection with, for not tolerance, with connections between Kovanov homology and Hoshi homology and was developed by Paul Perner, but this is kind of in the series of homological algebra people well known, is that we can just define in a similar way a simplicial module for every small category with coefficients in a factor to abelian category or say modules. The last example, associative example, homology of small category C, let's say C, with coefficient. In that function. This category, let's say to R modules for simplicity. For something like this. So, how we do this? Of course, we need all ingredients. So, what is Cn? We have to use our functor to have modules. So, it's the sum over functor of, let's say, I will call this object x0 in small category. And here you have elements of so-called NELF, standard NELF really of category, meaning chains of morphisms. So let me write this nicely and that's essentially it. F0, x1, these are objects. Xn. N chains
of mold disease. And we take module corresponding to the first object. The functor is covalent, otherwise it would be opposite. So now we can really guess, and probably I will not like, we can guess Mandelbrot's facelifts. What is DI? Maybe D0 is the most difficult, and then other DI I shouldn't get one. So what are other DIs? We just erase one of objects and glue mod physics. We use the fact that it is associated, that is really functor. So here, associativity is needed. What is D0? D0 is maybe slightly more complicated because we have to erase the first object. So we have kind of transport element from here to the next object. This is not difficult, but let's relax. So we need something from here that calls this lambda. And then we have this. Xn. So what it means? Let first transport this from excerpt to text one. So the functor from this from F0 like this. Okay? So this is homomorphism. Take this on lambda. So this is already element in the functor from X1. And then of course we can have chain X1, F1. So this is our, with this we have the simplicial model. Very easy to change. Like abstract simplicial complex. What are degeneracy map? There's no problem as well with degeneracy map. We just repeat some object, I object we write twice, and put identity morphism between them. So it's so easy that I can write S I. Lambda x0 xi xn is the same lambda x0 and then xi dot 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 xi xi xi. So we just put identity between xi and xi. So this is very general construction, very good, but clearly based on associativity. So let's now go to distributivity. So I think that the first homology based on distributivity was constructed by Fehrenruck and Sanderson 15 years ago, and then developed by Carlton, Kamada, Saito. Binary operation, which is self-distributive. So let me repeat, because we need this. A, B, and C is equal to A, and C. So write self-distributive. I will call such object after Alisa Klein's shelf. It's not the greatest name, but she proposes. This is shelf. Set with binary operation which satisfy like self-distributive. So, motivated by Fehrenruck and Sanderson and Carlton, Kamada, Saito, we define chain complex, or rather presimplicial module, as follows. As follows. Maybe I write chain complex and then say what are the DIs. So, Cn, I will write model, shift the notation because I would like to have presimplicial model. So, Z, x to power n plus 1 is usually. And now, what is the boundary operation? We'll see what are phase maps, boundary operation. related with this star, x, 0, xn, will be the sum, minus 0, to n, minus 1, to I. Now, we'll take I. You standardly either take out I terms or glue I with I plus 1. Here, you take I term and project on everything before.
Yeah. One more, would be a basic example of such a shell?
Oh yeah, Boolean algebra, or lattice, or plenty of other examples, but I like examples which are degenerate, which are not invertible. Otherwise, they are well known, they are quantums and lux. But because I'm interested in something which is more primitive and elementary, I am starting from Boolean algebras, which are semi-lattices. Okay, but this is just one operation, so there's plenty of examples, because then we try to combine them together. Okay, so this is x0 star xi, xi minus 1, star xi, xi plus 1, xn. So maybe from this notation it's not clear what is d0, what is 0 phase map. It will be deleting the first term. But it's kind of not obvious. So let me write d0 separately. D0 is equal to just deleting the first term. All other terms are obvious here. So this is pleasantly shown. Now we can try. So maybe homology related with this precipitation model, I will call H with this operation, not cohomology, just operation of X.
Sorry, precipitation means no degeneracy?
No degeneracy. Precipitation means that we have only the first axis, yeah, only the axis. But enough to have chain conflicts. So let's call this distribute one term. One, we'll explain in a moment, one term, this is a little bit homology. So we can try to find degeneracy. And the most natural thing, which was already noticed by Scott Carter, was that we just double, as before, we just double the term. It doesn't work always, but it gives another natural condition when it works. So always we can define S I of x0 xn just doubling I term, so x0 xi xi xn. And now of course we try to check all axes.
That's not going to be a simple
question. Absolutely no. So this is the reason. Exactly. So this is the reason that I wrote this axiom kind of in a strange way, separating four from three. So this, when we check, it will satisfy three first axioms, which now I call very weak simplicial models, strangely. I didn't know a better name. So that's, this is not, these are subgroups that are not chain subproducts. So as usual, we can define C, the degenerate things, by definition, as span of images of all S0, the planes. So for the moment, it's only subgroup, but I should stress that it satisfies one, two, three, six. So, when one look carefully at these axioms, for being subchain complex, we don't need in four axioms to be identical. It is not that this is equal to this. Then, when we check subchain complex condition, we have two terms which cancel, and only this is needed. Let me call this fault line condition. Only bi si is equal to bi plus 1 s. So one can ask for which shells this condition holds. And it's very easy to check and call this item open. So, fault line holds if A star A is always A. Then we can consider subcomplex of degenerate elements, but we don't have the last piece of the condition. It's not identity. So I want to remind you that in standard theory, if something is simplicial module, then degenerate elements fall acyclic subcomplex. So we can divide by them. It is not true in quantum theory, in this theory. So even if this idempotent condition holds, the subcomplex may be not acyclic. But it's nice complex and it fits. So these are two pieces, the generic and the quotient with the classical alcohol quantum homology. But it's not yet this, I have only one term. So maybe Scott reminded me that if we have distributive structure, this shelf, and additionality is eigenpotent, that Alisa Klaas was calling this spindle. Now I should check how much time it is that I know.
You started 32 minutes ago.
Sorry?
15.
So now we have this local definition. Now I would like to go to this term from the title of my talk. That we have distributive moment. So let's go to this distributive moment. But we have everything built for this distributive moment. So this one.
Distributive.
Probably useless before, so not observed. So let X be a set, and let's call this B of X, as Scott suggested, set of all binary operations. So let's take the set of all binary operations. So we can make out of this B moment
semi group with identity. So as a composition of operation, I choose doing this from the line. So what would be star 1 composed with star 2? And just line definition. D, and then the second operation. So this is definition of composition, this is associative, because really this is a composition of maps. Then we have identity element, I call this star 0, defined by doing nothing from the right. So of course this is identity element. So with this we have node. What is more interesting now, of course, there is no here distributivity. The distributivity behaves nicely under composition, but with some assumptions. So what I will now consider is distributive. So now it's just definition set. Let's say D in our B. This will be any set of operations of elements of B such that they are distributed one with respect to another. So if star alpha star in D, then they are distributed. Thus, in case I will write this in some time. From the right always. So distributivity in our distributive set is supposed to be for every pair. So this condition contains as well self-distributivity. So what is nice about this distributive set is that if you take the moment generated by our distributive set, it will be still distributive set. This time it will be distributive submoment. So this is very interesting because you can say, why don't do something like this with associativity? It will be not true, this fact. If you take associative subset of operations, the generated by this moment may be not associative. So, let's write this as fact, generated by D monoid is associative. But there's another rather interesting property. Of course, I'm interested in homologies. So, if you take two elements of distributive monoid, or just set, so if you take two operations, which are self-distributive and distributive, which is one with respect to another, very easy calculation shows that we have something like this. If you take our operation, and now write this operation in the opposite direction, A first plus B second. So if you have now a monoid distributive operation, that you can combine them together. And then there's time for history.
So what was the first distributive homology, this Feld-Ulk and Sandberg? Large in 1995. When we take this self-distributive operation, it is this, maybe I should say differently. We have our identity element. Identity element is distributive with everything, which is obvious. Which means that we always can combine identity bundle operation with any other. So in particular, they were considering minus self-distributive and this identity element. This is what they call Lack bounded operation. And then Scott Carter noticed, or that is Carter Kamada Saint-Pierre's whole paper, noticed that there is no need here for this. And they wrote something which they called, I think, twisted, yeah, T, which was just T.
That was with Mohammed.
Yeah, with Mohammed. But on the other hand, this is just another linear combination of these two basic elements. On the other hand, there's nothing new, because I didn't even mention this, but some of the stars are invertible in our moment. And if inverse as well behave very nicely, if you add inverse of some element to our distributive set, it will be distributive with everything else and with itself, which we can be used for. So this doesn't follow, but we can be used to show that there's nothing more here. And in particular, the star is inverse, I think it was Kamada's first observation, that this is producing the same homology. So maybe I should finish with this, with maybe two examples, one with Adam Sikora recently, and in a special case, trying some examples. So, first of all, if our operation is distributive, is invertible, then this one term homology, which was defined here, thus we don't have taken a combination, is acyclic, as it should be. But if star is not invertible, it may be much more complicated. So for example, the first task we did was to compute a operation is the same, is such that it is from the left trivial. For sure it is not invertible. A star B is just B. This idempotent element, because if you compose star with itself, we don't change anything. So what is the homology here? Homology here we computed to be 3, and if our x is finite, the rank will be z. Nothing special, but still interesting. Minus 1 times x to power n. So very far from being acyclic. This is the free homology of this very simple thing. Similarly, we computed several other examples. For example, we can have shelf, that this is just some function of B, except that then for distributivity we need this very function. Then we computed as well this, and it happened to be still very highly non-trivial. But as I was saying, it is interesting when you have not one term homology, but many terms homology, even more than this. So this is the last example which I would like to address. So I think I did the term one. The last one, yes. This is what we don't do, the second step of cleaning. Okay, example. Let B be Boolean algebra, or maybe distributive lattice is enough. Of course, we take Boolean algebra because it's already two natural distributive elements, self-distributive and distributive one with another element. So what we have? We have addition, we have multiplication, always we have trivial elements, so these are distributive elements, distributive set. Then we take monoid generated by them, so of course we have trivial one, but we have as well composition of this and this. So this composition This Abelian energy also doesn't matter how you write, so I defend it like this. But this is my definition. The last operation. In fact, the last operation happened to be, I shouldn't rotate this, because the last operation happened to be this one. A star B is B. Of course, for sets, if you take A plus B times B, you always get B. So anyway, this kind of knows the gentleman. So our task was to compute for Boolean algebra a distinct equation of finish to compute this. So let me put boundary A, B, C, D. It's just some, because on the short terms, A plus B. I'm writing this just to have some partial result. So first notice that it's not only that each operation is not only shared, but it's steam. Really, for any of this operation, A star A is equal to A. And I'm saying this because my first calculation was big simplification. Dramatic simplification, I was considering subsets of one element set. So two element Boolean algebra. Why? Because I knew that if I divide this by degenerate elements, my chains will be two-dimensional. That's, if this Boolean algebra is from the 0 and 1, then Cn is spun, there's no repetition. So you say this triviality, but it's pretty good first check. Either 1, 0, 1, there's no repetitions. So spun by two elements, of course, you get result. And the result was nice, maybe. At least not really. It happens that essentially this homology of this B1, Hn of B1, this divided by degenerate, so let's call this one of full terms, is just equal to Z A plus B greatest common divisor A plus B A plus C. Anyway, in most cases, there's torsion. And then in more general cases, this sort of torsion kind of multiply. But see, there's always torsion. And then we try to compute other examples that maybe I should not bother with some calculation. But it seems to be interesting. Or at least maybe we have experience for calculation for Boolean. Thank you.
Would you like to speculate how to combine homology for Yang Baxter
operator? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I understand. Lovely, it was in there. This led me to do something with topology because there was no picture yet. Oh. So, the idea of algebra was clearly. Of course, I have no clue how to do this, but at least I can say why. Probably the question should be to Scott Carter, because he did it at least for set theoretical Young Baxter equation. But this should be the case. Define homology for Young Baxter equation, not only set theoretical, and then relate this with John's polynomial and eventually Hovanov homology. But let me blow for people who don't know the picture. So why distributivity not tall? This is really related to with Herentler the Meister proof. So thus self-distributivity we can see from Herentler the Meister proof, from Blade relation. When we think about naive invariant of limits, that for the diagram, we just decorate, we take some set, as I was doing, binary operation, and then we decorate diagrams in such a way that every arc has some label from X, and whenever we have crossing, for simplification, we draw on the positive crossing, and this is labeled by A, and this is labeled by B, this should have label using an operation. then when we check the coloring here should give unique coloring here and the opposite, we get distributed. Something like, I can do it quickly. So this is going to be true, it's C. C, B is going under C. I draw on the positive velocities, I have no problems. And finally, when we go with A, we see what happened here. Maybe this is simpler. A is going under B. Then A star B is going under C. So here is A star B star C. When here we have A under C, here we have B under C. So clearly here we have kind of distributed. We have A star C. And then it was, I think, an idea of Scott Carter that really we can see from this at least second and third homology. In the most naive case, when you have positive crossing, we have chain from the diagram just A, B, and we add this over all crossings. And this happens to be two cycles. And this may kind of give idea how to define homology, but it will be exactly homology. This difference between trivial operation and this standard operation. But here, this is kind of very, very special Young-Bartzell operation when we consider linear space, whatever, R, X, and this is giving, and crossing is giving map from R, X, and so R, X, and on R, X. Such that the pair AD is going to the pair B, and so clearly, because it satisfies self-distributivity is exactly Young-Bartzell equation. Sorry, I lost one factor. 2-2-2. Then, without much thinking, but it is kind of more involved, I think it was crystal by Kaufmann or by Schwander by other people, that there's no any need to ignore this map. It may be some map. So eventually we'll have map from x and x into x and x here. And again, if it is preserved by Peltz-Rademeister, we can produce invariants of links, ignoring for a moment second, for this link invertibility. So, but here what we have is we just mix bases, probably this permutation operation or whatever it is called. So the next step would be to just have general Young-Bartzell operator and try to imitate this. I should ask Scott why it is so difficult. It's probably like asking every conference this question, didn't try by myself. But anyway, if it is possible to do and then compute homology, this should be related to at least John's polynomial and hopefully to Hovanov homology, and if you like big goals, it should measure Hovanov homology should measure some phase transition in some statistical mechanical problems. I think Lou wrote a paper about this, but proving that there is really phase transition is very difficult to assess. However,
phase transitions aside, there always seems to be some funny distance between set theoretic version of Young-Bartzell and the tensor version that we usually use when we think of phase transition.
Set theoretic kind of like classical theoretic. It's like totally classical coloring particles and they just go away. And they should mix and should be. I have no clue, should be quantum mechanics. Anyway, this is the whole.
So, I have a short question. So, you have for a group, you have this self-distributed relation A to the power B.
For example, conjugation.
So, does the new homology compare to, or is related to group homology?
I think one should really, it looks like really classical homologies related to quantum homology, except that in quantum homology, when you have made this difference, it seems like it's spread. This is what I was trying to do, find some homological operations which are very natural spreadings. So they are related, but I think for low dimensions there are some results. For higher dimensions, it looks like totally unrelated. You take Zn, maybe in the other case it should be the header argument.
S3.
And homology, a good homology of course is periodic, when quantum homology is growing exponential. But I think it is not, should not be the problem. I think this exponential growth one can control by some homological operation. And on the level 2 or 1, whatever index they should agree more or less. But this is for the future. Yeah, but it is not independent.
Group cosinicals do give quantum cocycles, but homology theory is really different. A knot doesn't have any group homology, but non-trivial knot will have non-trivial quantum homology.
If you go to infinite quantum, we have no clue, yeah. Except this one beautiful talk. But for finite, I think they are related by this kind of behavior which we can control. So, answer is I don't know.
Please, as you know, we have tomorrow this poster session, and I would like to ask everybody who would like to participate to present their poster to write now their name on this blackboard. I will just clean it right now, and then please write your names over there. And please tell the people whom you know who are not sitting here and would like to present the poster also to contact me. Okay? Thank you very much and have a nice evening.